This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. This is Jack McKenna speaking. It's Wednesday night, November 13th, 1940. Lou Martin is standing by with the news from the terrible Armistice Day storm on the Great Lakes. We've also got some oldies from our wax record collection, folks, and a special interview I set up just for Lou.
Oh.
A ventriloquist who's performing at Club Superior.
Oh, my.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Marcus Company's Sporting Goods and Jewelry Store. They have all your hunting equipment and a big buck contest. Marcus Company at 728 Tower Avenue. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. 18 lake sailors are known dead, while 67 are missing tonight in the aftermath of one of the worst storms in the Great Lakes history. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the latest.
The Armistice Day storm, 1940, sunk the freighter William B. Davick and her crew of 33, the grain carrier Anna Minch with a crew of 24, and the freighter Navadoc. The fishing tugs Indian and Richard H. with crews of 5 and 3 respectively also went down, as did a rowboat off Sault Ste. Marie on Lake Superior with 2 fishermen on board. Still unreported and thus considered missing are the Wilbur E. Smith, the Bethlehem on Lake Superior, the tanker New Haven Saucony, and the Irene and Dornbos on Lake Michigan. 2 oars and a lifeboat from the New Haven Saucony washed ashore at Muskegon, Michigan, leading to fears that the storm had battered it and her crew of 16 to pieces. The scene along Lake Michigan's eastern shoreline is one of frozen desolation and battered hulks of ships. Civilian conservation crews and Coast Guardsmen are searching the wreckage for victims of the gale that began Monday night, Armistice Day, and roared through Tuesday. Survivors told of waves 30 feet high, blinding snowstorms, the crushing impact of 75-mile-per-hour winds, and daring rescues. One of the most daring rescues was from the little fishing tug Three Brothers. This tug ventured out in the worst of the storm when even the Coast Guard surf boats wouldn't go out. The Three Brothers went to the torn hulk of the Canadian freighter Navadoc, which was lying on its side 900 feet offshore of Pentwater, Michigan. That's where the Davick and Minch broke up. Three Brothers rescued 19 men from the Navadoc. 2 other crew members are still missing. Witnesses say one sailor was swept overboard. The other is dead, still in the wreckage. All 19 were treated for shock and exposure. The Coast Guard reports that it has rescued the entire crew of the vessel Sinaloa, which ran aground of Sac Bay at the tip of the Garden Peninsula. The tanker New Haven Saucony is still missing, but 2 doors and 2 smashed lifeboats from the ship washed ashore at Grand Haven. That crew of 16 is feared lost. At midday yesterday of this 30-hour storm, the lake was described by sailors as a dead sea, meaning that the storm, having spent itself, left only huge rollers in the aftermath of the gale, Lou.
It's believed that 2 of the crewmen of the William B. Davick were from this region. 36-year-old Lyle Doyle of Ashland was a fireman on the Davick, while 22-year-old Lawrence Gagne of Superior was a steward on the ship. Mr. Gagne graduated from Carleton High School in Minnesota before moving to Superior. Also, 27-year-old James Monroe of Superior was a member of the crew of the steamer Frank Billings, which was battered during the storm on Upper Lake Michigan. He's the son of Circuit Court reporter Lionel Monroe. Mr. and Mrs. Monroe have not received word about their son. James Monroe had previously served as a watchman on the Davick before transferring to the Billings. James Monroe is married and lives in Duluth. We have some updates now from the wire service. The steamer Frank J. Peterson was reported safe but leaking with water in the hold. The Beaver Island Coast Guard reports 9 fishing tugs smashed on shore, and the Lansing Shoals Lighthouse reports portholes shattered and its machinery flooded and out of commission. Also, the 416-foot steamer, the Condit, is still afloat but reported in distress. and all clear for ships was finally signaled at 10 o'clock this morning by the U.S. Weather Bureau. That ended a day and a half of waiting before vessels got underway once again. Six ships, the Leopold, the Harry Colby, the Merton E. Farr, the E.L. Ford, the Price McKinney, the Sonners, the Fulton, all were stuck outside the harbor during the storm. They all sailed into the Duluth Superior Harbor this morning. City crews have cleared large snowdrifts around Superior, Duluth, and Ashland. Electric power lines and telephone wires knocked down have been restored. Many local men from Superior and Duluth were also stuck in Chicago. That's where the USS Paducah was waiting out the storm. It's headed out today on Lake Michigan, bound for the Brooklyn Naval Yard through the St. Lawrence River. The 125th Field Artillery Battalion of the Army National Guard left Duluth on the gunboat Paducah earlier this month for training out east. Believe it or not, thieves were busy during the storm. Superior Police reported that someone stole 500 pounds of coal from the backyard of Oscar Christofferson. They also broke a window at the Huber & Sons jewelry store and stole five watches. They also stole a bicycle from the home of Mrs. Edna Brown. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Now, Jack McKenna with these words from our sponsor.
Hey, Lou, I know where we can get a watch cheap. Folks, the Marcus Company once again has the Big Buck Contest. It costs nothing to join. Just ask us about it. We cordially invite you to inspect our large stock of new and used rifles, shotguns, pistols, and other hunting equipment that goes along with it. Ask to see the new 300 Remington automatic rifle at our store. And rifle sights, have we got them? You bet your sweet life. Lyman, Marbles, and Redfield for all makes of rifles. Let our expert gunsmith mount your sight. We have caps for hunting, too, 65 cents and up. Gloves, 25 cents and up. And rifle cases, just 65 cents and up. Breeches, $2.75 and up. Compasses, 15 cents and up. Talk about a good buy. And credit accommodations are available. At the Marcus Company, sporting goods, luggage, and jewelry, 723 Tower Avenue.
The Italian fleet has been devastated by British planes in a raid that could change war tactics of concentrating fleets in one harbor area. The Royal Air Force swooped over the heel of Italy's boot and sunk the Pride of Italy. Webb Miller begins our World News Roundup tonight.
London calling, your correspondent Webb Miller reporting. The Admiralty reports that the air arm of the British Navy sunk many warships in a raid Monday night on Taranto Harbor. We would have had this news for you yesterday, but the startling results needed to be confirmed. Operating from aircraft carriers, the plane struck the Pride of Benito Mussolini's Navy as it rested snuggled in Taranto Harbor. Air reconnaissance showed one battleship down by her bow with her forecastle underwater. Another battleship beached with her stern underwater, listing heavily to starboard. Two cruisers are listing to starboard, surrounded by fuel oil. Two other ships are lying on their sides with their sterns underwater. The pictures prove that Britain had annihilated Italy's fleet. The British apparently have given new talking points to arguments of planes versus battleships. So far in this war, no nation has admitted to losing a battleship to bombs from an airplane. The Italian ships were safe from surface attack by British ships behind coastal batteries, but not from the air. Up to this point, Italy's navy had refused to challenge British superiority of the Mediterranean. Now, with its battle wagons sunk or out of commission, that task may be impossible. In London, this is Webb Miller reporting, calling Berlin.
This is the Third Reich, Max Jordan reporting. Adolf Hitler and Soviet Foreign Commissar Vladislav Molotov continued their talks today about Russia's place in the New World Order that is now Europe and Asia. The Führer entertained Minister Molotov at a luncheon at the Reichschancellery. Assembled were 25 high German and Russian officials, including German Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop and High Command Marshal Wilhelm Keitel. The Nazi press is secretive about the purpose of Mr. Molotov's visit. The Soviet Union has been quiet about the Axis Agreement signed in September between Germany, Italy, and Japan, leaving Moscow out. Meanwhile, reports are surfacing about a new Nazi offensive in the Balkans. The eventual aim may be to stem the Italian losses to Greece, but also to squeeze the British out of its dominance in the Mediterranean and eventually link with Italian forces in North Africa. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling Canada. Come in, Jacques Mornay.
This is Canada, Jacques Mornay at an Eastern Canadian port. This is a story of heroism, a bravery under fire, and the ship's crew facing certain destruction. 65 seamen, most of them wounded, are Canada's heroes tonight. They are scarred, exhausted survivors of the armed merchant ship Jervis Bay. This ship and crew saved 29 ships of a convoy before she went down. Guns still roaring in a mid-Atlantic battle with a powerful German raider. The world got its first inkling of this battle as distress calls crackled over the Atlantic. Facing an attack by the German pocket battleship, the Admiral Scheer, Jervis Bay Captain E.A. Fagan ordered his ship to lay a smokescreen across the convoy, allowing ships to scatter. Then, without hesitation, in a hopeless fight, the merchant ship charged the Admiral Scheer, plowing through a storm of shells straight for the raider. Captain Fagan remained in command with one arm practically shot away and part of the bridge blown apart, drawing the battleship away from the convoy, giving ships time to escape. Captain Fagan went down with his ship. Hours after the battle, a Swedish freighter that was part of the convoy turned back to search for survivors. Captain Sven Olander said the fight was glorious, one he'll never forget. Captain Olander said in halting English, "That day did so well for us, I did not like to leave." At an Eastern Canadian port, this is your correspondent, Jacques Barnet.
A few local news notes. The Douglas County Children's Board report was issued today. The secretary, Miss Violet Dahl, says they classified 66 illegitimate children, 23 neglected, 10 delinquent, 22 dependent on the county, 6 taken in because of marital difficulties, 3 adoptions pending, 55 placed in 43 foster homes, 7 mentally handicapped, and 15 crippled children were placed in foster homes so they could attend the orthopedic school there. The Hotel Superior rebuilding project is almost complete. Secretary Treasurer Roy Springer says $80,000 has been spent on the landmark hotel. It was destroyed when it burned in June. This smaller version will have 58 rooms, an air-conditioned cocktail lounge, a cafe, bus depot, and barbershop. It's a three-story high building. And finally, things may be looking brighter in Superior. The Superior Douglas County Safety Council voted last night to ask the city to restore its street lamps to their 1930 power. The resolution read that the street lamps were dimmed to one-half their power to save money during the Depression. Now that they want that power restored, Jack?
That's Lou Martin, ladies and gentlemen, the best doggone newsman around. It's been a pretty busy 3 days for the red-headed one.
When history is being made, it usually means that newsmen don't get much sleep.
Ah, thanks, buddy. The forecast for this Wednesday, November 13th, 1940, calls for fair skies and reduced winds. Tonight's low will fall to 5 above, and tomorrow's high should be close to 20 degrees. A chilly forecast, but at least the Armistice Day storm of 1940 is over. Let's kick things off, good listeners, with this oldie from 1932. This is Gus Arnheim and his Coconut Grove Orchestra and Roll On Mississippi on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Gus Arnheim and Roll On Mississippi on station KUWS. The winter storm has postponed the annual St. Stanislaus Fall Festival. Reverend Nowacki says they'll hold the festival next Sunday instead. Friends, here's a warmer upper from the folks at Standard Wholesale Liquor in Superior. Enjoy Old Sunnybrook, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Men cheer Old Sunnybrook for its genial quality and all-around goodness. This whiskey is 4 years old and 93 proof and costs just $1.25 a pint. And in most taverns, Old Sunnybrook sells at 15 cents a drink. Enjoy Old Sunnybrook, as cheerful as its name. Up next is Lou with the Ventriloquist, live and in person.
Oh, no.
Maybe someone could use a little Old Sunnybrook, so on with the music. And here's one, 1925. This is Paul Whiteman and the Rhythm Boys, and Side by Side. Just enjoyed the old-time sounds of Paul Whiteman and the Rhythm Boys and Side by Side from 1925 on station KUWS. Hiya, Lou.
Allow me to introduce the gay puppeteer, Mr. Eli Trembling. Good of you to stop in, sir.
I'm the greatest deadpan ventriloquist alive. Go ahead. Try to make me laugh. Just try.
That's not really something I like to do.
Go ahead. Bet you can't do it.
I give up. You win.
Come on. Try to make me crack a smile.
No.
Chicken.
To paraphrase a line from Oliver Hardy, here's another nice interview that you've gotten me into, Jack.
Come on.
Jack, make Mr. Trembling laugh.
Yeah, funny boy. Give it your best shot.
Okay, Lou. I was so tired today that I slept through my nap.
My
So much for Mr. Deadpan.
Mr. Trembling.
I'm also known as Voice Tosser Supreme. You'll never see me move a lip.
I understand that you're appearing at the Club Superior. Why don't you give us a sample with that little dummy?
I beg your pardon.
He means Farmer Dan. He's a big hit. So is Little Sweet Pea. We don't spell her name P-E-A, but the other way. That's why she's wearing a diaper. Say hello, Sweet Pea.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sweet Pea. It's because I'm sweet.
Hey, you're moving your lips.
Say hello, Bachelor Farmer Dan.
Howdy do there, boys and girls out there in Radio Land. I brought my favorite friend with me, Guernsey Gert.
Your lips are moving all over the place. I suppose you're a radio juggler, too.
But the radio listeners don't know that.
All right, that's enough for me.
What did you expect, Lou? Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy?
Hey, Bachelor Farmer Dan, what do you grow?
You're right.
What do you mean I'm right?
I grow hay.
Eli Trembling, the radio ventriloquist.
I'm great over the telephone, too, aren't I, Sweet Pea? Ooh, you're damp.
On with the music, friends. Here's an oldie by McKinney's Cotton Pickers from 1933. This is If I Could Be With You for 1 Hour Tonight on the Martin and McKenna Show.
That music moves me.
I'd be happy if I had you by my side. I'd be happy if I knew you were my bride. If I could be with you for an hour tonight and free to do the things I might, I want you to know that you couldn't go until I showed you that I loved you so. If I could be with you, I'd love you strong. If I could be with you, I'd love you all night long. I'm telling you too, you'd be anything but blue. If I could be with you for just 1 hour, if I could be with you, if I could be with you for an hour tonight, and free to do the things I might, I want you to know that you couldn't go. If I could be with you, I'd love you strong. If I could be with you, I'd love you all night long. I'm telling you true, you'd be anything but blue. If I could be with you just for 1 hour,
that's McKinney's Cotton Pickers and If I Could Be With You for 1 Hour Tonight on Station KUWS. Sorry about that, Lou. But let's move on, shall we?
Our next guest is Douglas County Draft Board Number 2 Chairman J.A. Raffaele. Good evening, Mr. Raffaele.
There's some weirdo talking to himself in the hallway. What kind of place are you running here, Martin?
Was the guy changing a diaper?
And mooing?
That's him. A friend of yours?
No.
I kind of like Farmer Dan.
Mr. Raffaele, since the draft board is just gearing up, have things been going smoothly?
Well, smooth as can be expected. But that's not why I'm here, McMartin. I'm here because of Private Robert Gale of Superior. Nice young man. Patriotic. He didn't wait to be called. He's one of many in National Guard units who have been called already and shipped out. He's with many other Douglas County men at Camp Boldegard in Louisiana.
That's nice. How's he doing?
A lot. You care. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm beginning to miss the ventriloquist.
Well, while Private Gale and guys like Leroy Campbell and Frenchie Brotherton and George Linder and Paul Ostrom are making the big leap to Army life, people back here don't seem to care. These young men are drilling and trying to get adjusted away from home for the first time in places like Louisiana. And do you care? Huh? Do you?
Of course I do. I did a story about their send-off.
Yeah, well, how about you, McKay?
I care.
Now, these privates say no one has written to them yet. They're training to save our country from the Hun, and we go about our lollygagging little lives. I'm here to tell everyone to write our boys in the service.
Well, that's wonderful advice, Mr. Raffaele. We should all show our appreciation to these young men.
Yeah, especially since they probably got those voluntary butch haircuts. Now that's sacrifice.
Say, Martin, what kind of man are you anyway?
He's Martin. I'm Jones.
Nice try, Jack. But it's best we get the names right if we're going to get chewed out.
So, people, take pen in hand and start writing. And I mean now, boy. Especially with the sacred holiday season coming up, we can't forget our boys in the service.
Right.
Right. You're right. Thank you, Mr. J.A. Raffaele, Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Number 2.
So, on with the music.
Trying to give old Raffaele the bum rush, huh? Well, I gotta get going anyway. It's a busy time. Hey, Jones, you got any Fred Astaire? You can't beat a good Fred Astaire number.
By special request, this is Fred Astaire from the movie Top Hat and Putting on the Ritz on the Martin and McKenna Show. Jones.
On Lenox Avenue, on that famous thoroughfare, with their noses in the air, high hats and colored collars, white spats and $15, spending every dime for a wonderful time. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where Harlem splits, putting on the Ritz. Spangled gown upon the bevy of high rounds from down the levee, all misfits. Putting on the Ritz. That's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Thursday evening with her swell bows. Rubbing elbows, come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 minutes. Putting on the Ritz.
Look at that man sitting on that Ritz. You look at him, I can. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where Harlem? Putting on the Ritz. Spangled gowns upon the bevy of high browns from down the levee, all misfits. Putting on that certain Ritz. That's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Thursday evening with her swell folks. Rubbing elbows, come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits. Putting on the Ritz. Thank you.
attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 minutes putting on a ring.
That's always a good number. At least old Raffy has good taste. That's Fred Astaire and Putting on the Ritz on Station KUWS.
I have this bulletin in from the Coast Guard about this Armistice Day 1940 storm. The gasoline tanker New Haven Saucony, with her crew of 15 and her captain, are safe. Even so, 89 sailors remain missing, as several ships perished in waves reported up to 40 feet high before subsiding last night, Jack.
Thanks, Lou. We'll have more news when we sign on tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., followed by the Finnish newscast and the NBC Breakfast Club. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, of course.
And you don't set up any more lousy interviews for me.
Yep. And for Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Brian Matuzak. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
Memories of the Armistice Day 1940 storm are lost on today's generation. But those who were alive remember it as a fierce, frightening storm.
The blizzard claimed 154 lives in the upper Midwest, from the Dakotas to Michigan. Duck hunters froze where they stood. Temperatures dropped 30 to 40 degrees in just a few hours as hurricane-strength winds swept across the plains and the Great Lakes.
Nearly 2 feet of snow fell in Minnesota and Iowa. Terrific winds caused drifts 20 feet high, isolating many towns. Thousands of cattle died, and a million turkeys perished.
This was Lake Michigan's worst storm. 4 ships and several fishing tugs were lost. The Anamitch, the William Devick, the car ferry City of Flint, the Navadoc. In the case of the Anamitch and Navadoc, all hands went down with their ships.
Little is left from that day. In Ludington, Michigan, an historical marker recounts the life and death battle faced by sailors during that 2-day storm. For Lou Martin, I'm Jack McKenna. Good night.